Amen. It is good once again to be able to come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we come together, let us consider once again how good God has been to each one of us, continuing to give Him all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. He is a God that is worthy to be praised. And as we sing praises unto Him, let us once again think about the words that we're singing. And as we sing them with an understanding so that God will accept our praises. On last Sunday morning, I preached a lesson on abortion. It is a moral issue that we have to address from the Bible. And on this Sunday, I am going to preach a lesson in reference to drinking. It is another moral issue that we address from Scripture. Now, next Sunday, I'll preach on another moral issue. And then next Sunday, another and another. And if I say another, I have to get another. But there are several things that I want to talk about over the next month or so, dealing again with moral issues that we sometimes have a tendency to overlook. It is like a man waking up in the morning and not knowing where he's at. He look around and the surroundings are not familiar. And he asks himself, how did I get here? He's still sitting behind the wheel of his automobile, by the way. And his automobile is not really parked in a parking spot. He actually finds himself at the bottom of a ravine. But he asks himself, how did I get here? And by the time he really comes to his senses and he wipes the sleep out of his eyes, he looks at the floorboard of his automobile, and there lies empty containers that used to have some type of alcoholic beverage in them. But he wonders, how did I get here? How did I get here? Or a man stands before a judge, and the judge is telling this man that you are about to lose your children if you don't straighten up. And he wonders, how did I get here? Or his wife or her husband is issuing her a writ of divorcement because you were caught with someone else, and you ask yourself, how did I get here? It's all about not the second drink, nor the third, nor how much you did drink. It's all about the first drink. That's what it's about. You know, you hear people say, when we start talking about drinking, you hear people say, well, Paul told Timothy to have a little wine for your stomach's sake. Brother Brian, who did Paul tell that to? To him, to Timothy. Why did he tell Timothy that? Because he needed it. When did he need it? At that time for some illness, for his stomach's sake. You take medication, right, Brother Butch? What's the worst medication you take? I'm not trying to get in your business. You don't have to tell me. He takes medication. Let's stay at that, okay? Brother Pack, you need some medication, or you're going to go over here and get Brother Butch's medication? So a little wine ain't good for everybody. It was good for Timothy's sake. That's what we need to understand when we start talking about people that say, a little drink is not going to hurt me. Oh, it makes me feel good. Give that baby some beer for the worms to get rid of them. That baby some beer. Are you going to give that baby a whole can of beer? I hope not. But there are some that give in excess to a problem, to a situation, or a solution. Wine is not the answer. Strong drink is not the answer to this world's problems, to our problems, because once you start drinking and you quit drinking and you wake up, that problem is still going to be there. Ooh, she sure is ugly. Let me have a drink and see if she's going to look any better. She's still going to be ugly. He is a horrible man. Let me go and have me a drink. You know what's going to happen once you finish the drink? He's still going to be a horrible man or an ugly man or a man that you just don't want to be with, and you probably should not have been with him in the first place. But we think drinking is going to solve the problem. Drinking is not going to solve the problem. Drinking only intensifies the problem, only makes the problem worse when we have bills that we can't pay. But yet, what we're going to do is we're going to go across, well, this is back home. We go across the river to get our drink on, then we go back home, and the next day, the lights are turned off because instead of paying a portion of your light bill, you went and bought you a case of beer. What's the problem? The problem is we think that the solution is in the bottle. That content of that bottle is not a genie. It is not going to grant you three wishes, because the problems are still going to be there when that drink is gone. Let's go back once again to the book of Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And let's see what Solomon says once again about this drinking, because many people say, you know, oh, I had a rough day at work and I'm going home and I'm going to kick my shoes off and I'm going to get in my recliner. Well, first, I'm going to pour me a glass of wine because I need to relax. What you're saying is you need to get drunk. That's what you're saying. Relaxation, in many cases, when we involve alcohol in it, all cases actually, is drunkenness. But Solomon says this, woe, woe, there in verse 29. Who has woe? Who has a misfortune? Who has something that's not going their way? Who has lost something? Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Man, I don't feel good. Man, I'm glad I hung out with the boys last night. I'm glad I went out with the girls last night. I had a good time. But he asked the question, who has sorrow? What did you lose when you went out last night? You've already been told that if you go out one more time with him, when you come back home, I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to divorce you. I'm just not going to be here. I want you to realize what you have. I want you to realize what you're going to lose if you continue down this state. That doesn't give way to divorce by no means. But many people have lost their family because of drinking. Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Let me ask you a question. As you read about those questions that are asked there, are you the who? Do you fit into that category? There are many of us that are not proud of where we come from, but we will never forget the day that we took that first drink and we continued to drink and we woke up in a condition that we thought we would never be in. Let me share a couple of stories with you. Just a couple. There was a man that got up one morning on his way to work. You know how we said something told me. Something told him. Walk around on the other side of your automobile before you get in it. And he did exactly that. You know what he found when he got on the other side of his automobile? Normally he wouldn't do that. He'll just get out there, start up his automobile, get in his vehicle and go to work. Well, he walked around the side of that automobile, and there his son was, tied up to his automobile because someone had brought him home in the middle of the morning, not the middle of the night, but the middle of the morning. The middle of the morning is between the hours of 12 and 6 a.m. That's the middle of the morning, so it was somewhere around 3 possibly, that someone brought his son home drunk and tied him up to his automobile. Now just think, if he would not have walked around that automobile and saw him, where that man would be today. He's no longer a boy, he's a man. Where he would be today. But he would have been a boy then. And he would have still been a boy. But now he's a man. Where would that man have been if that father wouldn't have walked around that automobile? Another story. A man, a boy, actually, that's what he was. He was a boy. And he was talking on the phone. And when he woke up the next morning, you all remember those phone cards that went from this side of the building almost to that side? He woke up one morning and he was wrapped up in that phone card. And someone asked him later, "Why were you hitting on my cousin?" Strong drink will do that to you. It'll make you wish that you have never, ever touched that first drink or taken that first drink. Now, I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm talking to you from experience. I'm talking to you from something that I've gone through in this life. I'm not proud of it, but I'm not afraid to share it with you because I'm no longer there. And many of you can share stories with others because you're no longer there. It's hard to tell a man not to drink when you are a drinker. Don't get drunk. Don't do that. You'll mess around and lose your license. You'll mess around and lose your family. You'll mess around and lose your job. Don't drink. What about you? "Oh, I've already lost all that. There's no hope for me." What kind of sense does that make? It makes no sense at all. Wake up before it's everlasting too late. Solomon continues there, and he says, "Those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try mixed wine, do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly." Oh, it tastes good. So smooth. Oh, we used to drink some things that were smooth. We used to even mix up some things that we thought were smooth because we couldn't afford the real thing. Oh, mix a little this and a little that. Tastes the same, don't it? You're drunk. You have no idea what it tastes like. Alcoholism is responsible for 50% of the auto fatalities that we have in this world today. 50%, 80% of all home violence, 30% of all suicide, 60% of child abuse, 65% of drownings. Alcohol contributes to these things. "Oh, he only beats me when he's drunk." Don't make any sense, does it? No sense at all. A head-on collision. The drunk survives, but the person they hit are dead. "Oh, he normally don't drink. He had a bad day on the job, and he stopped by, and he got him a little bit of this or a little bit of that, and he was drunk." You know, when man has started putting numbers, not these percentages here, but a percentage of a number to tell this is when you are legally drunk, man has no idea. Man has no idea about what the Bible says. When we would go to the Bible and we would see what God's Word says, we would say, no, 0.8 is not a legal limit to say that I'm drunk. When you have your senses impaired, when you say, "Oh man, I'm a little lightheaded right now. Oh, I feel a little tipsy right now. Oh man, do you feel that buzz?" You know what you're feeling. You're feeling the effects of alcohol that have made you drunk. None of y'all have never heard that before, I'm pretty sure. But I've heard some of those terms before, and I realized that the people that was using those terms were drunk. Even if I have used some of them, I probably never really thought about any of those terms to use toward myself. I just, you know, when I used to drink, I used to drink, and if I was drunk, I was drunk. And if someone saw me, they knew I was drunk, because not as I'm preaching and my voice get louder, but when I used to drink and I started talking loud, they say, something wrong with him. That man is drunk. Just talking loud for no reason. I'm right here. Why are you hollering? That's because we think that people, you know, we have to, you know, raise our voices, or that's what the alcohol is doing for us. It's making us raise our voices so that we can get our point across. No. We need to put that bottle aside. We need to go home. We need to clean out our refrigerators. We need to go home. We need to clean out our so-called wine cabinets. We need to clean those things out. Have you ever thought about those wine canisters, those things that you slide your bottle of wine in? You know what else will slide in those things? A liter of Coke sometimes will slide right in there, just perfect. That spot where you have a six-pack in the bottom of your refrigerator, you know what else will slide right there? A six-pack of Coke. Slide right in there. Now, I know I can stand here and tell you all these different things about drinking, and you say, well, Brother Spencer, how about drinking coffee? How about drinking tea? How about drinking too much soda? Oh, yeah, all those things are wrong, too, if you drink them in excess. How about dressing? You know, we need to dress in moderation. If we overdress or we underdress, we're in sin. What about our speech? If our speech is not seasoned with salt, we're wrong in the eyes of God. What if we don't tell the truth about all things? We're wrong in the eyes of God. But that's not what we're concerned with this morning. We're concerned with those of you that drink and think that it's all right. That's who we're concerned with this morning. Let's not point the finger at anybody else. Let's go home and let's look in our refrigerators. I don't want to tell you to look in the mirror. You already know what you look like. Let's look in our refrigerators. You know what I had to do one time? I had to clean out my refrigerator. To clean it out. Well, we can use that to put in the plants. No, let's clean it out. If it's there, you know what you're going to be tempted to do? You're going to be tempted to drink it one day. Man, I'm having a bad day. You know what I used to do when I used to have a bad day? I used to drink, but you know, I don't drink anymore. But you go home, you had that boss that made you mad. Having a bad day. Huh, you know what I have at the house? I got something that'll settle me right now. You wake up the next morning, you're on your way to work, but you know what you did? You woke up 2 hours late because you're not used to drinking anymore. You had a bad day at work yesterday. You know what's going to happen this morning? You might as well not even go in because you had a bad day. You made the boss mad yesterday. He made you mad. Y'all had a couple of words. He's willing to overlook it, but now you're 2 hours late. No, I don't think it's going to work out for you. Repentance will work out for you, but as one of the brothers said on the other day, or yesterday, matter of fact, he said there are still some consequences that are going to have to be paid. You can repent, but some consequences are going to have to be paid. And if we would understand that, we would look at our lives and we would do the things that are pleasing and accepting the sight of God. Drunkenness throughout the scripture is condemned. And nowhere it said, oh, you have my permission to go out and get drunk. Nowhere in Scripture do you find that. It has always been condemned and always will be condemned because the Scriptures never, ever change. In the days of Noah, in Genesis chapter 9, verses 20. Genesis chapter 9, verses 20. We know who Noah is. We know what Noah did. You know, they tell that story about Noah. In our classroom, we tell our children, Noah built the ark. Noah took two of every kind of animal into the ark, and certain kind he took seven of, because they were going to have to sacrifice those unto God. We tell people about that. We tell them about the flood. We tell them how Noah preached unto the people for 120 years. And then God said, it's time for you, Noah, and your family to enter into the ark. What? Was Noah chose to build the ark. We have to go back that far because Noah found favor in the eyes of God. We tell people about that, but we fail to tell them when Noah got out that ark, Noah sacrificed unto the Lord, Noah planted a vineyard, and Noah got drunk. We remember that he got off the ark. We remember that he sacrificed, but we do not tell that Noah got drunk. Why? Because that's nothing good. We don't want to tell our kids that story, but we need to tell them that story. As I said before, we tell our kids about our history. Let's tell them about some history that comes from God's word. Let's tell them how this was not pleasing unto God. Noah, Genesis chapter 9, starting with verse 20. Genesis chapter 9, starting with verse 20. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. Now, one sin wasn't committed here. Two sins were committed. Noah got drunk. Noah laid down naked. Now, in the privacy of his own tent. Now, if you want to get naked in your privacy of your home, that's okay. But if you pass out naked because you are drunk, somebody, somewhere may commit a sin. Not saying that it's because of you. It's because of that person that they wanted to do that sin. And here we find that Noah's son, it says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Now, if he would have saw the nakedness of his father, just went and covered him up, everything would have been all right. But he went and told his brothers about it. That was not right. We have to understand, when we see someone that has passed out because of nakedness, we need to do what we can to cover them up or to get them to a safe haven. Lend a hand to somebody. Oh, he's just old wine. Oh, he sleeps in that ditch all the time. He needs somebody to help him. Stop. Give him a hand. I'm not telling you to give him a dollar so he can get something else to drink in order to get rid of that hangover. I'm telling you to give him a hand. Tell him about Jesus once he sobers up. It's hard to talk to someone about God's word when they're drunk. Then we find in Genesis chapter 19, Lot. Oh, again, it's told about Lot, how Lot was righteous there in the city of Sodom. He was righteous. He and his daughters and his wife, and they were told to leave that city because of their righteousness. And they left that city. And we tell people how his wife turned back and she turned to a pillar of salt. We tell them about that. But do we go any further and tell them about Lot's daughters getting him drunk? We go any further, we need to go that far. Because we need to stress the importance of not just him getting drunk, but why did they get him drunk? They got him drunk in order to sleep with him. Not one time, but two times. Isn't that, just amazing? Two times. Some people never learn. Some people never learn. Oh man, I can outdrink anybody. Can you really? Do you remember what you did when you tried to outdrink them yesterday? No, we forget about that. We're just looking for that right now, that good feeling that we have. Man, if you drink all this, you're not going to have to pay for it. I'm sure I can do it. You get down to that last drink and you can't drink no more. Now you're broke because you got to pay for everything you're drunk. Isn't that crazy? But we have people like that. They'll take that challenge. We need to look in the scriptures and we need to see what the scripture says. In the book of Proverbs chapter 20 and the verses 1. Proverbs chapter 20 and the verses 1. Oh, for those that like to go out to the local restaurant and sit down and say, oh, I'm just going to order me one drink and that's going to be okay. I'm pretty sure God does not have a problem with this. They're not going to say that out loud, but that's what they're thinking. Who are you to tell me I can't have one drink? Am I my brother's keeper? That's who we need to think we are. We need to say, it's because of what the Word of God said. That's why, that's who I am. I'm telling you this because I'm not the who. In Proverbs chapter 23. I'm that individual that's in Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. I'm the one that's not drinking like you're drinking. I'm the one that's telling you drinking is wrong. I'm the one that's telling you when you get behind that wheel of your automobile and that lawman pull you over, he's going to give you a citation. And we know what's going on now when we get pulled over. You may not just get a citation. You may get more than you have bargained for. Consequences because of drinking. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Not wise. Remember leaving Radcliffe going to E-Town and it was in the middle of the morning, and there we got pulled over. One cop passed us off to another cop. They come in your way, pull them over, and that's exactly what happened. We got pulled over. Where are you been? Where are you coming from? Who are you? You been drinking? this, that, and the other. They asked all those questions, and he come back, and he don't even come around and face me like this right here. He come around and just put the thing around here and say, blow in this. You know what I politely did? I politely blew in it. You know why? Because I knew I had not been drinking. Maybe I was a little sleepy. I was weaving, I was wobbling, but I was not drunk. So a lot of times we speculate, or we jump to conclusion. Oh, he has to be drunk. He was surprised that I wasn't drunk, but I was not. Have a good day. Go on about your business. Be safe. You best better believe I'm going to be safe. See, drinking, it's not going to get us where we need to be. It's going to get us somewhere where we don't want to go. So let's wake up and let's do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Then we go to the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. People look at me when I was growing up, and this is not when I was drinking, or this is not when I was high, but they'll look at me and they'll say, you know, man, you, why are you the way you are? And I say, I have a natural high. I just love being me. I have a natural high. I don't need those extra things. And it's a good thing that I quit doing those extra things, because a natural high along with a unnatural high just don't really go together. Do not go together. Ephesians chapter 5 and the verses 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. It's nothing like being filled with the Spirit, is it? Brother Fair would say, I used to be filled with these spirits. Now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to tell off on Brother Fair or anything, but that Brother Fair is not ashamed to tell what he used to be, because what he is now is a whole lot better, a whole lot better. And he, you know, I look at different people and I talk to different people about different things, and as we look at these things, we go back to the Word of God and we say, you know, God is good. He has been so good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. He has protected me through all these things that I've gone through. He's seen me through those things. Now what can I do? I can help someone else out. I can tell them that drinking is not good for you. But just you know, you've been through it. Let me go through it. Why? Why would you want to go through it? You have seen the statistics right here. 50% of all auto fatalities. How many of you said, let me go through it, went out and got drunk and wrecked your car, but you wanted to go through it? Now you know what you have to do? Now you have to pay for it. Home vitals. I didn't mean to hit her. I didn't mean to shake my baby like that. Come on, judge, give me a break. No, what you should have been doing is you should have been breaking away from the bottle. So we have to pay for these things. Oh, he was a good man. He never meant anybody harm. He always stayed to himself. When he wanted to get drunk, he went home, he closed that door, and he just, you know, he did what he wanted to. He didn't mess with anybody. But you know what you found that next morning when you went over there? You found a rope around his neck, or you found his wrist being slipped because he got drunk. He had some problems that no one knew about. Take the time to talk to people, to get to know people. When you see them always coming from the liquor store, stop and ask them, what are you doing? Why are you always going over there? And I see what you have when you come back, but why do you keep going over there? What's going on in your life? A young man asked me the other day, he was pointing towards someone else. He said, hey, they need some counseling. I looked at him and I laughed. And the reason I laughed is because some people that think someone else needs counseling are the ones that need counseling. We have to take time to get to know people. Time to get to know people. A man that has never been able to swim before takes a drink. Now he thinks that he is Superman. And he can swim. You couldn't swim before you took that drink. What made you think you could swim once you took it? It just doesn't make any sense, does it? But this is what wine does. It alters your thinking. It makes you think that you can do things that you have never been able to do before. Drinking does that. We need to come away from those things, and we need to understand who God is. Who God is. The Bible is so clear. When people say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say not to drink. Doesn't say that. Well, let's consider what it really says. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Let's see what the Bible says. 1 Peter 4, 3 through 4. For the time is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness. Now that's what we stop right there for a moment, right? Because we always say the Bible doesn't condemn drinking, it condemns drunkenness. And that's what we say. But let's continue. What else does it say? It says orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. Drinking parties and lawless idolatry. So we have drunkenness in there, right? And then we got these drinking parties. This let's just get together. We're going to just have some drinks, you know, a drinking party. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, the Bible condemns it. Right here, the Bible condemns it. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Why you don't want to go out with me? Because it's not right. We're just going to go out and have one drink. It's not right. The Bible doesn't condemn social drinking. But right here it does. It condemns social drinking. It condemns drinking parties. Drunkenness. I'm just going to go by mine and go home. Drunkenness. The Bible condemns it. So if the Bible condemns it, we need to stay away from it. Let's see what we can conclude in talking about this. What does drinking do? Drinking has boosted the revenue for the government. Oh, we can tax that, man. We know they're going to drink. Let's tax it. Let's get more money. Drinking, it provokes crime. I live next door to a liquor store. I know I need to watch my stuff because some people may want to go in there and buy some liquor but have nothing to buy it with. And since I'm the closest thing to them, they can steal my stuff and go and sell it or trade it to get their drink on. Drinking is habit forming. Oh man, I can control what I drink. Well, why are you always over across the river? Why are you always at the local store? You can control it. I don't have a problem. You're the one with the problem, always looking at me, telling me what I can and can't do. It's habit forming. Drinking. A lot of people say, you know, drinking, alcoholism is a disease. Well, alcoholism may be a disease, but drunkenness is a sin. Can you figure which category you want to fall into? Now, we can always call a man that's an alcoholic. We can always say, oh, there's that alcoholic right there. We have permission to do that from Scripture when we see how Rahab the harlot was described. Not saying that you drink anymore. Not saying that you're going to go back to that lifestyle. But then there are some consequences that need to be paid because God saw fit to say, you put yourself into that situation, so therefore you're going to have to pay for those things. Yes, you're one of mine, but you're going to pay for those things. You may not ever get your family back. Your baby, you're not going to be able to get that baby back because you're the one that killed it. Drinking, drunkenness is wrong. We do not need to hang out with drunkards. We do not need to try to convert a man when he is drunk. He don't want to hear nothing you have to say. He wants you to give him something so that he can get his next drink, maybe. He wants you to listen to him. Come on, man, just listen to me. I only got one more thing to tell you. You don't have nothing else to say to me. But you know what I found from a boy to a man? A lot of drunks will tell you the truth. They will tell you that it's their fault that their wife is not the person that she needs to be because of their drinking. They would tell you, my children don't listen to me because every time I come home, I'm drunk. They would tell you, my boss is getting ready to fire me because I'm always going to work with alcohol in my breath. They would tell you the truth. But you know what we need to tell them sometimes? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. What I want you to do, I want you to get sober. And when you're sober, I want you to come back and I want you to sit down so that we can talk about God's word, so we can talk about how to get you away from this lifestyle. That's what we need to do. It's an issue that needs to be addressed. It's a problem that needs to be solved. And you can't do it by yourself. We as individuals need to help one another out. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens. We need to take time to, as we restore that man, we need to take time to say, I'm here for you. I've gone through it. You know, some of you may not have ever been drunk before. You have not gone through it. You may not have ever have taken your first drink before. Don't. Amen. Don't. Near beer. They came out with that. Sharps near beer. Oh, I love the taste. But you know what happens? You don't have the same feeling. So you push that Sharps aside and you go back and get the Budweiser. You don't need it. You don't need it. Do what God says. Be filled with the Spirit. If you're not a child of God and you want to become one, no matter what your lifestyle is right now, remember what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, it talks about all kinds of sins that those people committed. And you know what we need to think about when we think about those people that come in here that from the streets, and they may be a drug addict, they may be an alcoholic, they may be an abuser, they may be a homosexual. What we need to think about, what Paul says, and such were some of you. So we can't say, oh, we don't want him around us. No, what we need to do is we need to teach him the truth, teach her the truth, in order for them to be able to obey the gospel. And hopefully they will start hanging around the right people. And you, as being a Christian, you set the example. You allow them to hang around you. You be the person that God wants you to be. You allow them, even before they become Christians, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Do not be afraid. We always hear people say, just say no. And when they say that, they're talking about drugs or they're talking about sex. Let's say no to going out and hanging out with the fellows and having one drink. Let's just say no. Thank you, but no thank you. I'm not going to do it. You know, I really appreciate you for even thinking just for a second that I wanted to go out with you. No. I don't want to go out with you under those circumstances. I want to go out with you and have a good time, to laugh and to talk, to play basketball, to play some cards, to play a little dominoes, to play volleyball, kickball. Saw some kids the other day playing red light, green light. Man, that brought back memories. Ain't no grown-ups going to do that though, right? Let's do it one day at my house. Let's not drink. Let's play red light, green light. I'm going to always keep it on red because I don't want y'all bum rushing me talking about, tag, I got it, I won. Don't want that. We're going to keep it on red. We want you to be aware of what you're doing. We really do. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. You desire to become one. You understand who God is. You understand what sin is. And you know that you have been committing sin. Let's get that right this morning. Let's come make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's be immersed in the water of greater baptism. Let's rise out of that watery grave to walk a newness of life, not turning back to the old man, but renewing your mind day by day by doing what God wants us to do. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. Come back. Come back. God is long-suffering. He wants you to come back. We want you to come back. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, please come as you stand and sing.